Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I'll explain to you why I'm on my own here in just a second. If you'd like to call in and talk to me, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So there'll be a brand one popping up there tomorrow morning. But, you know, swing on by there, check it out anyways. You never know what the heck is going to show up there. You know, weird things happen over there from time to time. Sometimes Dan posts, sometimes Stu posts. But never Mr. Fantasy. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, I would greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is... Oh, come on, we know this by now. It's at Sports Time Radio. You can find me on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. And as you know, well, maybe you don't know because it's been a while, but when I'm by myself, I always spell it out for you. It's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E is how you find me on Twitter. Yeah, now, interestingly, before the podcast starts every day, Dan and I normally have a few minutes to talk. And yesterday, in passing, I believe he mentioned that he wanted to take today off and just have an extended weekend for us. I kind of spaced that off. I remember yesterday when I was closing, I mentioned that we would be here tomorrow. And I didn't really think of anything. And then as the music was playing for the podcast to start today, and I realized Dan still wasn't here, I was kind of like, oh, wait a minute. He said that, yeah. So... just one of those odd brain cramps on my part, I guess. So, but we'll figure it out here. And, you know, when I'm by myself, hey, let's talk some FanDuel. Now, I stunk last night again for whatever reason. And I don't know right now. I'm not having much luck picking hitters. Let me grab the wonderful lineup I did for you here last night. Yeah, just pathetic here. Looking at it, it was a whopping 57.4 points. Rick Porcello got tanked by the Rays, so that kind of killed me when your starter only lasts 3 2/3 of an inning. Hanley Ramirez took a big zero. Maybe that's why he got DFA'd today. Whit Merrifield was my guy, 22.2. Mike Moustakas was okay at 9. Xander Bogaerts with just 3 points. Jay Bruce with just 6 points. My two Brewers, Hernán Pérez and Ryan Braun, 3 points apiece. And then John Jay had 6.2 points. So let's hope I have a little better luck today. I will start off by telling you my home run derby, which I did not hit any last night, has Bryce Harper hitting second for the Nationals, Mike Trout hitting second for the Angels, and my third guy today is Nolan Arenado hitting third for the Rockies. All right. Now, there's a lot of big-time studly pitchers going on today, and I went with Max Scherzer. He's right at the top of the board here at 12 grand. He's going against the Marlins. Luckily the game is in a dome, otherwise they may not get it in there. But yeah, I really can't see him having under a 60-point night against the Marlins, can you? So I'm paying the money. I'm rolling Max Scherzer out there. Here's the rest of the top five. You can pay $11,000 for Corey Kluber. Nolan Arenado comes in at $10,600. Luis Severino is $10,300, and James Paxton is $9,700. Those are the top five. I did end up with two lineups today. I'll go over that again as well. Maybe you're one of those guys. You don't want to stay at the top of the board, even though there are some really good matchups. So you're down here looking at the bottom, and you're hoping maybe you can steal a guy. So we get down to the bottom of the board, and I'm going to tell you off the top of my head, stay away from Sal Romano pitching in Colorado. I don't like anybody in Colorado. Sergio Romo's getting another start for the Rays, but to stay away from him because he's only going to go a maximum of maybe one plus innings. They're both at $5,500. The other $5,500 pitcher is Joe Musgrove. He's getting the start for the Pirates today against the Cardinals. I think my fear here is even if he gets a win. I don't know if he's going to get the five innings to get that win. So, he's another guy I would stay away from probably. David Hesston's sitting here at $5,600. He is matching up with Tampa Bay. He's making the start for the Orioles tonight. Maybe this could be your guy. Maybe you're leaning that way, and possibly he could be the guy to pop up. I'm not sold on it. I do have a kind of under the radar guy further up. Julio Teheran is way down the board here at $5,700. I'm guessing that's because he's pitching against the Red Sox. Maybe you're buying that one. You want to go that route with Julio. You can get Eric Skoglund for $5,800. Again, I'm not too on board here with these guys. John Gann is getting a start for the Cardinals against the Pirates. He was kind of interesting. Again, I stayed away from it. Sam, what did we decide this is? Gavagliolo is making the start for the Blue Jays tonight against the Phillies. He's at $6,000. Mike Fiers at $6,100. Fernando Romero is kind of interesting at $6,300 going against the Mariners tonight. I could possibly see some people throwing him in their lineup. Right above him, Ronaldo Lopez is coming off a really good outing for the White Sox last time. He's $6,400. Maybe you're buying him as your guy there. As we keep working up, I'm a little surprised Jose Ureña will cost you $6,500. I think that's a little too big of a price tag there, but here's the guy at $6,700 is Ross Stripling. He's been the guy I'm reading that you're supposed to go with as the under the radar pitcher tonight. He's pitching at home against the Padres, of course, for the Dodgers. Maybe you're buying that route. He is the pitcher in my other lineup. So, I'm kind of buying the hype there. Of course, to be fair, I did only bet a quarter on that lineup. So we'll see if he comes through. $6,800, you got Mike Minor going for the Rangers against the Royals tonight. $7,000, John Gray's pitching for the Rockies. They are at home against the Reds. I always have an issue going with any pitcher who's pitching in Colorado, even if it's like Kershaw or Scherzer. Clayton Richard's making a start for the Padres tonight, $7,100. Could be an interesting guy. He's had some really good outings. I believe did he take a no hitter into like the sixth or the seventh not too long ago. Of course, that does seem like it's been happening a lot. But yeah, here he 7 1/3 innings last time, and then he's coming off 8-8, so 43-58 and 32 points in his last three starts. Maybe he's rolling a little bit and you think he's going to be the guy. $7,100 isn't a bad price tag. Eduardo Rodriguez gets the start for the Red Sox tonight. He'll cost you $7,400. Maybe you like Junior Guerrero against the Mets, whose offense has really been struggling. He's $7,700. Andrew Heaney gets the job of pitching for the Angels tonight in Yankee Stadium. He'll cost you $7,900. Zach Eflin making the start for the Phillies tonight. He'll cost you $8,000 against the Blue Jays. Sean Maness hanging out here at $8,300. Obviously starting for the A's against the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks have just been blah. And Maness can be a strikeout guy. Now, he's coming off a bad outing. Five innings against the Blue Jays, only racked up 9 FanDuel points. But you know, he's a pretty good guy. I mean, he's got that 34.6 average, but remember, he had 2 really monster starts. He had a 67 and a 52 back to back there in what was that, January, March, April. Sorry, it's May now. I'm so good with the calendar. So maybe he's a guy you're buying against a slumping Diamondback team. And then we got Dallas Keuchel, $8,600 against Cleveland tonight. The Indians, another team that aren't really hitting. If you think, the Astros are going to put up some runs again, last night they won 8-2. Charlie Morton really shut the Indians down. He would have been a good pick. If you're buying Kershaw to do the same, there you go. You go that route. And then the last guy out of the top five is Patrick Corbin. He'll cost you $9,300. Now, he's pitched very well for the Diamondback, but, the question you always kind of ask now with Arizona is, man, are they going to score for this guy? I mean, he's been just so consistent. His last 5 starts have been 28, 30, 33, 34, and 36. The negative there is they are all going down. He's been a bigger strikeout guy than he used to be. So, maybe he can rack up a total against the A's tonight. Like I said, my fear is that, he's just not – he's going to do all this, and then he's not going to get the win. And it's just going to be kind of like, oh, okay, great. So I kind of lost out on those, those points there. But, yeah, I just went with Scherzer. I really think he's a big-time lock tonight, going against the Marlins. I mean, he should get a win. If you can get him to go 7 innings, you may get double digits, or you should get double-digit strikeouts. He's got an opportunity to really, really rack up some points. So I'm buying in. I'm all in on Scherzer, and we're going to run that way. Catcher first base. Now, we won't go over everybody. I'll just give you the top 5 and then go with my pick. Freddie Freeman's the top guy at 4,600. Joey Votto at 45. Matt Adams at 42. And then you got Jose Abreu and Gary Sanchez at 4 grand. I settled on Wilson Ramos, $2,400. He is all my guys but one are confirmed in the lineup. He's going to hit cleanup for the Rays tonight. Ramos has been really hot, and then of course I did just pay 12 grand for a pitcher, so obviously the rest of my players are guys I've got to kind of sneak and kind of find and hope they're going to come through for me. And sadly, this has been my problem lately, so maybe this is bad advice from me. But Ramos has been hot. He's definitely been playing well, been hitting well. You got to wonder if he's going to pop up on the trade market here really soon. I know the Rays just sent their closer, right? The Rays just sent their closer and Denard Span to the Mariners. So, look for them to, maybe start making moves, maybe Ramos is it, but he's coming off a 16-point night last night against the Orioles or the Red Sox. So, he rolls in. They are at home. Hopefully he keeps that going. So we're going that route. And again, my big tip here is don't play Hanley Ramirez because he got DFA'd. And we'll talk maybe we'll talk about that a little later. We jump over to second base. Here's your top 5. Ozzie Albies at 4,600, who really does nothing for me when I play him. Scooter Gennett at $4,400, and you can tell they're in Colorado. Gleyber Torres way up the board here, $4,300. Jose Altuve at $4,200, and Brian Dozier rounds out the top 5 at $4,100. I spent $3,400 on Yan-Hervis Solarte of the Blue Jays. He is confirmed in the 5th spot in their order tonight. Oddly, I thought he'd been playing more shortstop, but if you get him as a second baseman here, $3,400 is a fairly middle range price. He's had a pretty solid last 4 games. He was 15.5, and then he had back-to-back games of 25.2. Only 6 points last night, so I'm hoping he bounces back a little tonight and can get me back into double digits. What did we decide? Is it was it 3 points per dollar you pay for the guy? Is that what we added or we decided? So, you know, I need what a little, I need 9, 10 points out of him to make him worthwhile. I don't remember if it was 3 or 6. I lose track of these things. So, but yeah, so I'm going that route. And now here's my only non-confirmed guy is my third baseman. But here's the top five: Nolan Arenado for $4,700, Jose Ramirez at 44, Josh Donaldson at 43, and then Alex Bregman and Eugenio Suarez will both cost you $4,000. I am going with the returning Miguel Sano, $3,300. I'm waiting for the Twins lineup to be released. This is the only guy I don't have anything on. So, you know, he was activated yesterday, but he did not play. So that bodes very well for them wanting to get him in the lineup today. I know James Paxton is tough, but Sano is a big-time right-handed power hitter. And I'm looking to cash in here. You know, he's going to, you know, be healthy, be ready to roll. Hot guy coming off the DL, $3,300. It looks like good value. So I'm jumping on the board there, and we're seeing what's going to go on. We get into the shortstop category here. You got Manny Machado for $4,700, Trey Turner at 43, Francisco Lindor at 42, Xander Bogaerts at 41, and then Trevor Story cost you $4,000. I stayed in that Mariners Twins game. I'm on the other side now. My shortstop is Gene Segura, leading off for the Mariners tonight. Just cost me $2,600. So we're going to roll that route and see how it goes. And again, you can tell I'm not spending a ton of money on these guys because I did go the $12,000 on Scherzer. And, you know, obviously that ran out my pocketbook a little bit. Even my outfielders here are what I'm hoping for good value. All right, so speaking of outfielders, Mookie Betts will cost you the most at $5,400. Bryce Harper's at $5,300. You got Giancarlo Stanton at $5,100. Aaron Judge at $5,000. And then Mike Trout rounds out the top five at $4,900. The most I spent on an outfielder tonight was $3,100. And I'm going with Joey Gallo. He's hitting sixth for the Rangers tonight. You know, he's another guy I just can't seem to get a payoff on when I use him. But, man, it's a really good matchup for him tonight against Skoglund. And, I'm hoping sooner or later this is going to be my night with Joey, and he's going to come through. Moving down the board, my next outfielder only cost me $2,400. And that is Chris Owings of the Diamondbacks. He's hitting fifth for them tonight. You know, I know that offense is struggling, but, you know, when you get what you think is good value, you got to jump on it and take it. And that's just what I'm trying to do here. I mean, I'm hoping somebody in that order hits, and I'm hoping that it's going to be Owings. So that's where I'm going. And then my outfield wraps up for just $2,200. It's Malik Smith time for me. He's hitting eighth for the Rays tonight. Yeah, I'm a little surprised he's hitting eighth with Denard Span now being moved. I thought maybe they would move him up and he'd finally get a shot at leading off. Maybe that comes later. But again, it's $2,200. You know, he got a good matchup against, what is it, David Hess? Boy, man, I got to take the shot here. It's just kind of like, man, I need to save the money. These are ways you save money. And then for my wrap up here, I had a little money to spend on utility, so I got $3,600. I spent it on Asdrubal Cabrera of the Mets. He's hitting second for them tonight. So that's what I ended up with this lineup. Here's the quick recap. Scherzer is my pitcher. Good old Max there. Wilson Ramos as my catcher, first baseman. Yarvengis Solarte is my second baseman. Miguel Sano at third. As long as he's starting, I'll have to double-check that as time goes on. Gene Segura at short, and my outfield is Joey Gallo, Chris Owings, and Malik Smith, and then Asdrubal Cabrera is my utility guy. Let me grab that other lineup for you, and you got about 15 minutes to get in these leagues if you want to get in still. So, you know, these are still up and active. Here we go. Now, all these guys are confirmed, so I'm good here. This is where I went with Ross Stripling for $6,700, and here's how the rest of the lineup shook out. C.J. Cron at first base. He's hitting second for Tampa tonight. Cost me $3,400. Jonathan Villar, the Brewers, cost me $2,500. He's hitting sixth for them. Nolan Arenado of the Rockies cost me $4,700. He's hitting third for them. Jed Jorko is hitting fifth for the Cardinals, cost me $2,800. Spent some money in the outfield. JD Martinez hitting third for the Red Sox cost me $4,700. Charlie Blackman leading off for the Rockies cost me $4,600. My outfield wraps up with Curtis Granderson of the Blue Jays. He's leading off tonight for $2,800 is what he cost me. My utility guy also cost me $2,800, and oddly, he's a leadoff hitter as well. Delino DeShields of the Rangers is my utility guy in this league. So the recap here, Ross Stripling's pitching, CJ Krohn at the catcher first base slot, Jonathan Villar at second, Nolan Arenado at third, Jed Jorko at short. My outfield is JD Martinez, Charlie Blackman, and Curtis Granderson. And then my utility guy here is Delino DeShields. These are, you know, all set for the, you know, the 605 main league, as they call it here. So, you know, if you get in, good luck. You know, as always, check those lineups, you know, make sure things are good to go and you are all set there. And, you know, we'll see how it works out for you. But good luck. I hope you have better. Well, you know, I had some good luck earlier in the week, so I hope your luck is better than mine lately, I guess would be the way to kind of look at that there. So hopefully things pan out. But, as we've talked, you know, I mentioned a couple times here, you know, the Red Sox had to make a move today. They brought Dustin Pedroia off the disabled list, so they needed to make a corresponding move with their 40-man roster. And what they decided to do, and quite a surprise, was they DFA'd, which is designated for assignment, Hanley Ramirez, which gives them 10 days now to trade or release him. It's looking like it's going to be a release situation. And when I grab his contract here, I will explain to you why that is. Back in, as I got to scroll down the page, look at me go. Back in 2014, Hanley signed with the Red Sox. Large deal. He signed 4 years for a boatload of money. And the fifth year has what they call a vesting option. Now, Hanley makes this option by getting, I believe it's 490 or 499 at-bats this season. Now, no team, besides the fact that he's making $22.75 million, no team is going to pick him up in a trade because the contract comes along with him, which means he still has an opportunity to cash in that vesting option. And it's not going to happen. So, you know, look for Hanley to hit the free agent market, you know, in about 10 days. And, you know, he'll be rolling along. But, you know, we are talking about a guy, you know, way back in 2006, he was rookie of the year. You know, he's played basically it's 13 years. In 2005, he played 2 games. I don't think you can count that. You know, he was hitting .254 this season, but I know he's really struggled in May. Got off to a great start in April and then just dumped it in May. You know, the big question with him is, you know, now he's bounced around from, you know, position to position. He started off as a shortstop. You know, that was a very long time ago. He's played some third base. He's played some left field. Again, those were a while ago. Let me look here. He hasn't played shortstop regularly since 2014. He made one appearance at third base in 2015. Otherwise, he's been a first baseman DH. And I guess the way to put it is he's not what you would consider a gold glover. So you're going to get some defensive issues here or there when it comes to Hanley. You just got to kind of wonder if he's worth the risk. Now, I did hear, you know, right away some big-time rumors that the Rockies may be the team to step up here. And you got to think, if you're Ramirez and you want to continue to play, you know, Colorado's not a bad place to go. You can probably put up some really big offensive numbers and then head out on the free agent market. You know, this also helps the Red Sox with the, you know, the Blake Swinehart issue more or less, because he can play some first base. You know, Mitch Moreland will probably get the majority of the time there now. I don't really, you know, maybe Devers can play over there, or, you know, one of the outfielders can grab an inning here or there. But I believe Swihart actually has played the position, so that will probably give him an opportunity to get in games a little more. You know, he had requested to be traded, but the Red Sox were asking a lot to land him. But yeah, you know, I guess the question is, were you as surprised as I was that Hanley was the guy that got DFA'd? I really thought they would make a move with Swihart. You know, I definitely, you know, I thought he would be the guy probably being traded, and it just didn't go that way. You know, but, you know, Hanley is 34. When will he be 35? He will be 35 in December. So, you know, he's got some, you know, some time there before his birthday rolls around. But yeah, you know, I mean, the Red Sox are, you know, rolling along here. They're, you know, they're actually, you know, 2.5 games ahead of the Yankees now. They have the best record in baseball. You know, I don't think it's going to be a big hit to this clubhouse. You know, especially with Pedroia coming back, you know, he's the guy that, you know, is really, you know, he's the veteran team leader as you look at it. So, you know, there you go. We're going to, you know, send Hanley away and, you know, make the move. I mean, technically, I guess the Red Sox could re-sign him after that period goes up, but I just don't believe they would do that. There's not really a spot or an issue, or, you know, an issue of, and, you know, room for him. I mean, you're going to sign him to what? Sit him on the bench? And I don't know if he would want to do that. You know, he's been a quality player through his career. He's had his ups and downs, but, you know, he's been a solid player for the most part. And yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how it shakes out and where he ends up. But like I said, the first name I heard was Colorado. You know, you can never throw the Cubs out of these things, you know, even though there's absolutely no place for him to play. But since he has been on the Red Sox, that automatically draws Theo Epstein's attention. So you have to kind of look out for that. But I don't expect that to happen. You know, they're probably, I mean, I don't know what other teams you think could be interested in, you know, in bringing Hanley in. I mean, I guess if you think he's got some offense left, you know, any one of these struggling teams that think they're possibly contenders still may take a look at him. I know I saw somebody mention the Braves, but again, I think he would have to move to third base there, and I don't know how that would work. You know, the Indians are having some offensive struggles. You know, they're just playing 500 baseball. You know, maybe if they could find a spot for him. You know, I know, obviously, you know, Yonder Alonso has first base not held down, and then Edwin Encarnacion's the DH. You know, the tough part here is going to be finding at bats for him with a team. You know, Colorado is just 2 games over .500, but they are leading their division. You know, so maybe that's the fit. You know, he could plug in there. We'll, you know, we'll have to keep an eye on it as it moves along. But you know, the other thing that literally just broke, you know, like 10, 15 minutes before I came on air, was the Mariners made a deal. They picked up Alex Colomé and Denard Span from the Tampa Bay Rays in exchange for 2 minor league pitchers, Andrew Moore and Tommy Romero. Now, nobody knows if Seattle is going to send any cash is coming to Seattle in the swap, because obviously Span and Colomé are under major league deals. Let me see what they're each making here. Colomé makes $5.3 million this season, and Denard Span is due to make Sorry, you know, it takes a little while for me to get rolling here since I'm on my own. Where are we here? Wow, he's way down here. Span is making $11 million. $2 million of it is being paid by the Giants, so $9 million. And he actually has an option for next year with a $4 million buyout. So we'll, I assume he'll be bought out. I don't know if they would keep him around. You know, the Mariners did need an outfielder. They're having, you know, a bunch of, you know, a bunch of injury issues there. And a Span, even though he is 34, he's been having a solid season. I know he got off to a pretty good start, but he's down to 238 now. He does have four homers, 28 RBIs. He can still steal a bag every now and then. He's got six. He can probably play left and center. I don't think he's got the arm to be a right fielder anymore. But yeah, you know, it was just the fact that Seattle kind of they need outfield bodies at, you know, this point in time. You know, what was it? Was it Gamel who just got hit? Or no, it was Haniger who just got hit. And I don't think he had to go on the DL, but, you know, you always kind of wonder how that works out. I think Gamel is on the DL. So, you know, it's just the way things have been shaken out there. Let me see. You know, obviously D. Gordon's on the DL. You know, he's been playing center field. Who else is here? I thought for sure they had another outfielder on the DL. Did somebody come off the DL and I missed it? You would think I would know with the Mariners. I would be paying attention a little bit and actually knowing what they were doing here. But, yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Come on, where are they? D. Gordon? No, okay, maybe I'm just stupid at times, which doesn't surprise me. But even so, you know, they need a way to fill in for Gordon. And then when Gordon comes back, he could actually play second base. You know, with Robinson Cano being gone for the 80 games. You know, Colomé is 29. You know, he's been the closer there now in Tampa. This was going to be his third year. He did have 47 saves last year. He's got 11 this year, but that ERA is 4.15. You got to wonder if he's going to close or if he's going to set up for Edwin Diaz. You know, Diaz has been, you know, I think he's been pretty good. I thought I saw him get the save the other night. Let me double check his numbers here. You know, so we'll see how he's rolling along. Come on. Where are we? Whoa, did I go too far? I think I went too far. No, I don't want to see how he's hitting. There we go. he's good here. He's 0-1, but he's got a 1.78 ERA in 25 games, and he's got 17 saves. So, you know, only 9 walks to 45 strikeouts and 25 and a third innings. So, yeah, his numbers are really good. So you got to figure, maybe Colomé plugs in as the right-handed setup guy because, yeah, they've been having some issues there. You know, Juan Nicasio's been trying. His ERA is 5.56. Nick Vincent's ERA is just under 4 at 3.98. So, yeah, they could probably use another right-handed setup guy there. And then, you know, if Diaz gets used a couple days in a row and they need a closer, you know, Colomé could step in and do that. So, you know, all in all, it looks like, you know, a positive move for the Mariners here. Now, let me see what I can find out about guys they sent away here. Andrew Moore is 23 years old. It looks like he actually made 9 starts for the Mariners last season, pitched in 11 games, was 1-5 with a 5.34 ERA. This year he's been pitching in Double A, 9 starts, cover 50 and a third innings. He's 3-1 with a 3.04 ERA. So they are getting a guy with a little bit of major league experience there. I thought I heard somebody say Romero was in Class A ball, but let me double check everything here. Yeah, Romero is 20 years old, and he is in Class A ball this year. He's also made 9 starts, covering 44 innings. He's 3-3 with a 2.45 ERA. So they're getting two guys with really solid minor league numbers. You never know how these things are gonna translate or transfer, or you know, where they're gonna end up. I mean, I'm going to assume that you know, that they probably both end up in the minors. I don't think there's gonna be a a huge rush to get either of these guys here. Maybe. I guess possibly if they want to bring Andrew Moore up, they could do that. But obviously Romero is going to go, to their Class A organization. I don't know. I want to see if they have a, since this just happened, I doubt a lot of these are up to date here. But we'll take a quick look here and see. Oh yeah, they do have Denard Span off their depth chart. I was looking for where they might have these guys positioned. It looks like they're setting up here with Chaz Rowe and Jose Alvarado as the two guys being set up to close now in the Rays bullpen. So, if you're a fantasy guy and you're looking for a closer, this is kind of the way you find these guys. It's obviously a very flexible position there. I'm going to run down here to Double A and see if they have any of these guys' names here. They do list Andrew Moore with the Double A team in Tampa Bay. That's actually the Montgomery Biscuits. Class A here, do they have good Lord, what's the other guy's name? Why am I forgetting the other guy's name? Here he is, Tommy Romero. They list him in low A with the Bowling Green Hot Rods. Boy, they got some cool names there. So, I don't know if those are official moves or if that's just where they plug these guys in at. But, yeah, interesting, interesting move how, the Mariners are the first team to pull the trigger. And, we'll see how this kind of shakes out. But, as usual, when I'm by myself, I'm gonna take a short break here because, as you can tell, I'm getting a little scratchy. So we'll hit some music for you here, and I think the Cubs actually won, so this makes sense today.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get.
right, there we go. Now we'll see if we can get through the last 20 minutes of this. But while we were on the Cubs, they did win. They beat the Giants 6-2 today. So let's pull up the box score, see what you guys got in fantasy. Kyle Hendricks got the win, which is a plus for me because he's on one of my fantasy teams. Went 7 innings, 2 hits, just 1 run. Walked 2, struck out 7. He threw 88 pitches. Now, in our league, we have an innings limit. You know, you need to make 33 innings, and we have holds and all kind of stuff that includes relievers. So Carl Edwards got an inning, struck out 2. Pedro Strop, who I also have, wasn't very good. Pitched 2/3 of an inning, 2 hits and a run, but he did get a strikeout. Brian Dunsing didn't get anything official except a walk. And then Brandon Morrow came in to throw 1/3 of an inning, pick up a strikeout, and get a save. So there you go. And he got that strikeout on 3 pitches, so he didn't waste any time. On the Giants side, Derek Holland took the loss, but I believe he does get a quality start. 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, only 2 were earned, walked 2, struck out 6, threw 94 pitches. Will Smith was the first guy out of the Giants bullpen, was not very good at all. 1/3 of an inning, 1 hit, 2 runs, 2 earned, both were earned, I should say, and a walk. He also led to a couple of Holland's earned runs there as well. Corey Guerin was next, went 2/3 of an inning, gave up a hit, walked a guy, struck out a guy. And then Hunter Strickland got an inning of work. And you know how it is when you bring those closers in, man, they struggle. Strickland did. He went the inning, 1 hit, 1 run. It was earned, and he walked a guy. So there you go. And Holland did hit a guy as well. You know, batting-wise, the Cubs, you know, the Cubs managed 8 hits. The only extra base hit was a Ben Zobrist double. Zobrist was 2-for-4 with 2 runs scored and 2 RBIs. Albert Almora was 1-for-4. Chris Bryant was 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs. Anthony Rizzo went 1-for-2 with a couple walks. He did pick up an RBI. Javi Baez scored a run for you. Ian Hopp scored 2 runs and walked twice. And Addison Russell was 2-for-3 with an RBI. So there you go. That's the offensive side there. Now, the Giants only had 4 hits, and Gorky's Hernandez had 2 of them. One of them was a home run. He scored a run, got an RBI. There you go. See how that worked out? Brandon Belt was 1-for-4 with a run scored. And Evan Longoria was the other Giant with a hit, 1 hit, and 1 RBI. Brandon Crawford did walk twice. Andrew McCutchen got the other walk for the Giants. So there you go. That was the Giants' 3rd straight loss as they fall to 27-24. Still only 2.5 games out of the division lead because the National League West is kind of starting to come back to the pack a little. You know, after Arizona and Colorado looked like they were going to run away with it, things are kind of falling back. Now, you know, the Cubs got roughed up. Well, they got roughed up by the Indians in one game here in town, and then the other one was a 1-0 game. So it was nice to see the offense get going as they were able to break their losing streak. There we go. I was going to try to get the standings, and my computer didn't want to give them to me. The Cubs improved to 26-21. They're just 3 games behind the Brewers, who were in first place in the Central. So we'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, obviously, you know, that's the start of the series for them. And there we go. Let me run down the rest of the schedule for you tonight. I know we went over like starters and stuff. But here it is. We got the Angels at the Yankees, the Blue Jays at the Phillies, the Cardinals at the Pirates, the Braves at the Red Sox, the Astros at the Indians, the White Sox at the Tigers, the Nationals at the Marlins, the Orioles at the Rays, the Royals at the Rangers, the Mets at the Brewers. That's the app, that's on the Mickey Mouse Network app there tonight. The Reds at the Rockies, the Diamondbacks at the A's, the Twins at the Mariners, and the night wraps up with the Padres at the Dodgers. Like I said, we already went over the pitchers doing FanDuel. I don't need to throw the matchups at you again or anything like that. So, you know, hopefully you're right there and you're ready to go and things will go your way. There you go. That's like a bad Wilson Phillips song. So we shall see. But yeah, I guess that kind of wraps up baseball for us today. We can move on here, and we do have Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals of the NBA. It's in Cleveland, so fully expect Cavaliers to win tonight. The Celtics do lead the series 3-2. If you've heard the podcast before, you know I'm incredibly bored with the NBA, basically, is how you look at it. I don't enjoy the way the game is played now. Three-pointers and slam dunks. I can't even count how many times I've seen a guy pass up a 2 or 3 foot bunny to kick it out to the 3-point line and have the guy blow the 3-pointer. So it's difficult for me to watch, but it is the playoff time and we try to talk about it. I didn't watch a second of Rockets Warriors last night. It's just, it's tough for me to care. If there's somebody out there, 646-478-3753, or email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Give me a reason to care. There's really no drama. Dan has mentioned before that we pretty much knew it was going to be the Cavaliers and the Warriors in the finals. The Rockets kind of popped up to give the Warriors some competition. So maybe we get to see a different Western Conference team, but who knows? With the way these things go, that and the fact that it's almost June and we're not even into the finals yet. I don't even know when the finals start. I don't know when this is going to end. So we'll talk about it, but I haven't been keeping close enough attention to really know, except, I heard somebody throw out the LeBron was tired excuse again, and, we're just going to have to see how that kind of goes. But, what else can you say about tonight's game? I mean, I fully believe that the Cavaliers win tonight. I believe that the networks and the NBA won a game 7, and with what the Mickey Mouse Network and TNT paid to cover these games, and now the Mickey Mouse Network paid the majority of that, they're going to get a game 7. It's just that simple. And I know you're like, well, what do you mean they can't fix games? No, it's easy to fix an NBA game. The wet ref blows the whistle here and there at the right time, or doesn't blow the whistle here or there at the right time. There's always a gigantic free throw discrepancy. Coaches have been screaming about that for how long now? It's one of those things. Like, I fully expect a game 7 in the Western Conference as well. Don't you want 7 games out of the Warriors and the Rockets? I think most people do, but we'll have to see how things kind of work out, but. Are you excited about it? I know there's a lot of NBA fans out there. Oddly, I'm just apparently don't know any. We'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, I don't know. again, I kind of looking for a reason to get excited about it. And there's not one. I'm not even sure if when the finals come around, if it's something that I'll be excited about. So, we'll have to, kind of see how it goes. Right. I just don't know. And I know I'm kind of stammering and stumbling here, but yeah, I know so little here that it's just like, I feel a little lost, and I don't have Dan to kind of bounce stuff off of, which is always fun because then I can kind of drop it on him when I'm stuck or lost. But yeah, what can you do? Are you watching tonight? I guess is the question. So, we'll have to see how it goes. But I know there was a little controversy this year with the all NBA teams, kind of interesting here. Let me see if I can find them here. Hopefully this will give me the list of what I need here and not what I not what I wanted. You know, the big thing was the fact that Russell Westbrook surprisingly didn't make the first team. And here we go. Here's the NBA first team is Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, James Harden, LeBron James, and Damian Lillard. Now, the second team is LaMarcus Aldridge, Giannis Antetokounmpo, DeMar DeRozan, Joel Embiid, and Russell Westbrook. They go to the third team where you find Jimmy Butler, Stephen Curry, Paul George, Victor Oladipo, and Karl Anthony Towns. A little interesting there here. Westbrook averaged, again, triple-double, 25.4 points, 10.3 assists, and 10.1 rebounds per game. Now, Lillard, who is also a guard, 26.9, 6.6, and 4.5. Harden would be the other guard on the first team, 30.4, 8.8, and 5.4 were Harden's numbers there going across the board. I can see the argument for Westbrook over Lillard, but, you know, you can also kind of see, you know, kind of see it the other way. I mean, you know, I believe the Blazers finished a little higher in the standings, and, you know, that should kind of come into play here, you know, not just numbers alone. I understand that. It's nice to see Jimmy Butler get some third team recognition. You know, Steph Curry is on the third team because he was injured. You know, Victor Oladipo grabs a nice third team slot here. But yeah, I mean, how, you know, what do you buy there with, did you buy Lillard over Westbrook, or did you have Westbrook over Lillard? So, you know, just kind of questioning you there, see what you thought. I know Dan and I didn't dive too much into this, but I did finally get to see the Sterling Brown video. And, the bottom line is it was just ridiculous. And I believe the officers were way out of line. I did find it quite humorous that the police officers union tried to dump the whole thing back on the police department. I don't know how that happens or why that happens. It's clearly these officers were at fault. What baffled me is I don't think I've ever seen officers call for backup for an illegal parking situation. And I know this has been beaten to death, and you can get this kind of news all over the place. Let's face it, these officers probably deserve to be fired, you know, or maybe taken. Maybe they just need to be on desk duty permanently, you know, like Rod Farva from Super Troopers. I'm not trying to make light of the situation. It's an incredibly serious situation. And, you know, I know being a police officer is a difficult job, but man, in a situation like this, I get it. Brown was in the wrong for the way he was parked, but, you know, okay, he was in a handicapped spot, write him the $500 ticket or whatever, you know, or tow his car. Don't tase him for no reason. He didn't do anything wrong. And sadly, you know, this happens quite a bit. It's just kind of sad the way this has kind of developed, but, you know, maybe this could bring some light to it because it's somebody with a little name value and we can maybe try to start to fix it. Then the other thing, you know, I've been listening to a lot of people complain about the NFL's decision for the anthem policy. And what you really have to just kind of look at it is the bottom line, their boss just told them they had to do something. Do you have a job if you're out here listening to me? What do you do when your boss tells you to do something? Do you protest it? You know, like the joke at my work, because we're in the union, the line they use is you have to work as directed. All right. If you don't work as directed, you could be terminated. Now, I don't think any of these guys are going to be fired because, you know, there's a lot of talented players who have knelt. And again, oddly, while everybody was talking about this, no one once mentioned the original reason Colin Kaepernick started doing it. All they said was the players were doing it in protest. Protest of what? I'm actually to the point where I think the media members who are discussing this don't know or don't remember. So, you know, that's the biggest issue with this whole thing for me, is just the fact that we're so far askew from what Kaepernick had in mind. And a lot of it, what he was talking about was what just happened to Sterling Brown. So, you know, I mean, there's, you know, he did so much to try to turn it the right way. And I, you know, I thought he handled himself very well, and he was very professional with the things he said. You know, obviously the worst part was the fact that he started doing it right after he lost the starting job for the 49ers. So, you know, that makes it, you know, I don't know how many people look at it that way, but that's one of those things that's always going to come up. You know, there's just nothing you can do about it, no way to get around it. You know, it's just going to be like, yeah, well, hey, you know, he didn't decide to do this until, you know, like, oh boy. So, you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, I really fully believe that he was trying to do a good thing. And I, you know, I got to tell you, to be fair, I don't support the kneeling during the national anthem. I don't mind if they protest. I just don't want them to do it during the anthem. While I did not serve, my grandfather served in the Navy in World War I. My father served in World War II. And my father was actually on a battleship, just left port the day before they bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He was on his way to, you know, Japan via battleship to basically get into the war. Now, he wouldn't have had to fight. He was a cook. But that doesn't stop anything from happening to him while he's on the boat, if something happens to the boat or, you know, anything like that. So, take that for what it's worth. I actually did enlist in the Marines. I had the Marines take me. So I was going to serve, but I was going to be a doctor. I passed all their tests, all their requirements. And when I got to, you know, my enrollment, we were going to take care of everything. Yeah, you know, that wasn't on the form. So I made a bit of stink about it, and I ended up not signing and not going in because they didn't kind of give me the job I want. So while I have no issue with protest. You want to protest something, but that's one of the things you've got to deal with about this country is, you know, we have free speech, and if someone disagrees with you, you know, you're allowed to counterpoint. I mean, obviously there's good ways to do that and bad ways to do that. I really wish they weren't doing it during the anthem. You know, they have a lot of other opportunities as professional athletes to do this. And the NFL guys will and still get their message. So, but hey, I believe I'm going to be in the second one of the thing that I'm spending 2 times in time and once, and I haven't heard back. So, this will be like 10 and 11, and hopefully, I'm going to be here to do the 2 hour Tuesday edition. That way, the first time we go down, I haven't even got a new blog coming to my channel. It's already going to be able to check that out. Hit the Facebook page, click that a like, but don't forget to put a video on the first time radio. Find me on Twitter as well, at website, UNKV, IOTV. Hey, but if you're listening live, thank you.